European leaders pull an all-nighter and produce a plan to solve the debt crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Global markets are breathing a big sigh of relief this morning thanks to the plan that has emerged from the big Euro summit in Brussels. Here are the two key numbers in the plan. 50%, that's the loss that the holders of Greek debt will have to accept. The other big number is $1.4 trillion. That will be the new size of the European bailout fund. For more on all this, let's go to Marketplace's Stephen Beard, who is live with us in London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So does this deal address all the big issues, or is this sort of like you're putting together the pie crust, but you've left the lemon meringue out so far?
No, it's not just a crust, but one ingredient that is missing is precisely how the enhanced bailout fund is going to be financed. It's pretty clear that European governments, like that of Germany, don't want to put in any more cash, so they'll be looking outside Europe for support. The French President Nicolas Sarkozy is phoning the Chinese leader this morning, and not just to pass the time of day. Chinese help, however, is not guaranteed. China's official news agency's verdict on the Euro summit is this: positive but filled with difficulties. Not exactly a ringing endorsement.
Well, Stephen, you've been covering this debt crisis for a couple of years now. Do you think this has the potential to be the summit to end all summits?
It's probably not. It's the 14th on this subject. Probably won't be the last. Financial markets are celebrating, but Marcel Alexandrovich of Jefferies International Bank says that may be due to their low expectations before the summit.
I think the fact that politicians managed to get around the table and produce a 15-page document, I think that in itself is seen as a bit of an achievement.
Another prominent analyst says he thinks there will be a happy ending for the euro, but not just yet. He says this won't be like a US blockbuster movie with one big punchline. It'll be more like a French art house film with lots of twists and turns and more drama to come.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard with us from London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Well, stocks are sharply higher in overseas trading this morning. In Frankfurt, up 4.5%, up 5.5% right now in Paris. Nintendo's stock is most certainly not up this morning, however. The company said today it is expecting to lose money this year for the first time in at least 30 years. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow grew by 162 points, about 1.3%, to close at 11,869. Time Warner Cable is reporting this morning that it made $356 million in profit last quarter. But when you dig deeper into the earnings report, you might conclude that it's time for the company to change its name to Time Warner Internet. That's because the growth is in high-speed data subscriptions, not cable subscriptions. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
Time Warner Cable has been losing more than 100,000 customers every quarter. Robert Thompson is a professor of TV and pop culture at Syracuse University.
Between paying your rent or your grocery bill and cutting off cable, it becomes one of the things that has got to go.
Thompson says the other problem is that young people aren't signing up.
Very few have cable because they watch all of their television on their laptops, unfortunately sometimes during my lectures.
Still, there is a bright spot. Larry Gerbrandt is an analyst with Media Valuation.
When you consider tens of millions of Americans who are unemployed, you would have expected that the losses would be far higher.
Gerbrandt says cable companies have bundled up broadband with cable packages. He says high-speed internet is sure to grow. And he says cable companies have created high-quality content that people will want, even if they buy it to watch on their computers. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2012 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Here in Southern California today, thousands of people are expected at a jobs fair. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has a look now at whether jobs fairs like this one in San Bernardino County are effective at putting people back to work.
A couple dozen officials are taking a tour of an old airport terminal that today will be transformed into a job fair with over 100 employers in Southern California.
One more thing. We ordered orange and black tablecloths this year, so we're going to kind of be festive.
One organizer, Nick DeMartz of San Bernardino County, says he hopes the event will help bring down the area's 12.9% unemployment.
It's a great way to bring these employers together in one location and bring 2,000 or 3,000 people in.
But John Challenger of the outplacement firm Challenger, Gray & Christmas says they rarely make a match. In a survey of human resources executives,
job fairs ranked as the least effective job search method.
On a scale of 1 to 5, they scored 1.6, behind cold calling employers or blindly sending out resumes. Chris Collins directs the Center for Advanced HR Studies at Cornell University. He says it's tough to stand out against a sea of other candidates.
When you only have a minute to shake someone's hand and pass them a resume, the standard job fair is not a very good way to make that happen.
It's like speed dating or something.
It is worse than speed dating because you have even less time.
San Bernardino County's Nick DeMartz says at least it's something.
If I'm the person who's unemployed and I come to this job fair, even if I was able to now earn $20,000 a year to feed my family, well, that single person's earnings is more than the entire cost of this job fair.
The event, by the way, cost around $8,000, mostly for chairs, tables, and refreshments. Pretty much everything else is donated. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, to an 82-year-old bridge in southeastern Kentucky. It is not strong enough to handle all the traffic that passes through the area these days, so it's being replaced. Problem is, the bridge is also historic, so officials don't want to demolish it. So they are literally giving it away. If you're in need of a 450-foot bridge and promise to reassemble and maintain it, the state will dismantle it and deliver it to you for free. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Anger and blame, even hatred, too.
The Greeks we do have is that if we don't feel threatened, we never react.
Our politicians, they are responsible.
It is our mentality that has brought us here now.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The problems that plague Greece and the rest of Europe and why we ought to care. That's coming up next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.